This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! It is fucking cold where I am right now. Where some of you are, it probably is not. And if that's the case, if you're from some fake place like Coconut Creek, suck it. Welcome to your home for everything modern day flamethrower, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. It is episode... I can't believe it. Maybe that's why I have this guy on tonight, because only this guy could be on episode 69. Because, you know, just because he is. But anyway, we have a great show tonight. We are on the road to WrestleMania. A lot of stops, more than normal. We've already been to San Antonio for the Royal Rumble. This Sunday, SmackDown Live's final stop in Phoenix at the Talking... What the fuck is this place called again? The Talking Stick Resort Arena. Jesus Christ. In Phoenix for the Elimination Chamber. And then, of course, in 3 weeks, will be Raw's final stop in Milwaukee in Steve Willey's hammock. Called Fastlane. We'll get to that in a few weeks. But tonight we will preview Sunday's Elimination Chamber show, get you ready for Phoenix, and then if we have some time tonight, we'll have a little fun. But first, let me bring in my two guys. First off, a guy that I've gotten to know very well. Him and I did a great continuous column in the fall on PlaceToBeNation.com, showcasing the college football season. Of course, the campus hot takes as we celebrated the national championship for Clemson. And he's been doing a great job with college basketball, as that is also, of course, in full swing. Big game tonight. I think they're in Chapel Hill tonight, Duke and Carolina. Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, welcome back to the Main Event.
What's up, Scott?
Good to have you on, sir. Are they in Chapel Hill? Are they in?
No, they're in Cameron.
They're that fucking dump. Ah, screw them. All right, we'll keep tabs on that tonight. I hate Duke. Logan, I think this is your third appearance. Good to have you on. All right, as I said, because it is episode 69, I have to have this guy on. Nobody else could really appreciate it. My brother, Chadley Criscolo.
My favorite wrestler of all time is Akeem the African Dream. Whatever happened to him?
He takes selfies of himself on Facebook, shrinking. He looks like a prune now.
It's a right shame it is.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, the great Jordan Duncan.
Now listen, you can't say it's episode 69 and introduce anyone but D'Amato.
Well, that is true, yes. Tonight here, we're going to have a bunch of who-is. That's true. How did I not have him on tonight? Oh my God.
He's probably crying.
I know,
he probably is. Himself to sleep.
Come on, this is my show, bitches. Oh God. I cannot wait. We are 11 months away from Philadelphia. All right. JD, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
As mentioned, gentlemen, this Sunday is, of course, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view from Phoenix. Big card, huh? 7 matches. All of them on the main card. We have no pre-show. Well, maybe they have the pre-show at 7 o'clock on the network, but no matches. It will just be straight, boring yib yab, and then on to the show proper at 8 o'clock. Who's on the pre-show panel now? Besides that kiss ass Renee Young, is that Rosenberg guy going to be on? Probably.
Booker,
Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. So annoying. And is Lita gone? Did they kick her to the curb? She doesn't do it anymore, right? I haven't watched.
Yeah,
pre-show.
She left.
I haven't watched a pre-show in ages.
Yeah, I think she left.
I was going to say the same. I couldn't tell you who's on pre-shows.
I have no clue. Anyway, that's on at 7. And then at 8 o'clock, the show proper. But it looks like, according to my list here, it looks like all 7 matches are on the show. So we got a pretty fun show then Sunday. Loaded show, 3 women's matches. That's unprecedented. We have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line, as well as 2 other singles matches. And, you know, I had this conversation on the last main event. We talked about the women's division and what the difference is between Raw's women's division and SmackDown's women's division. Raw may have the better main event title matches, but SmackDown, I mean, I don't think Raw could pull off three solid women's matches right now.
No.
They can't.
God, no. No.
No, they can't. No. Even though they may have the better champion in Charlotte, I guess it depends on your point of view. And no knock on Alexa Bliss. She's been a good heel. She's not Charlotte, but she's good. But you can, I don't think you could splinter off and have multiple feuds on the women's side on Raw right now. Not at all. So, all right. Our Royal Rumble winner is in action. And then, of course, the six-man Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship, who will face, as Matt Rotella affectionately calls him, Randy Orton, on April 2nd in Orlando. Let's dive in, guys. Let's start with him. Let's start with our now two-time Royal Rumble winner. Let's see. Randy Orton joins Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, who, of course, is the all-time leader with three.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart only has one.
I'm sorry.
John Cena has two. Triple H has two.
Batista
has two. And I think
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. So, not a bad who's who of guys that have won multiple Rumbles. He's taking on the exiled member of the Wyatt family, that being Luke Harper. JD, what do you think of the evolution? No pun intended. Of this Wyatt family storyline, how they're kind of splintered and everything. What are your thoughts on how this storyline has evolved since, say, TLC or even Survivor Series to this point?
You know, it's I have to make a confession. I don't watch nearly as much as I should. I mean, so I've missed big gaps of episodes and things like that. So a lot of my knowledge is from reading recaps. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a lot, but I saw a clip of Luke Harper this past week, and the crowd was really hot for him as a babyface.
Right.
And that's something I never thought we could really get. So, you know, not even commenting on, like, all the twists and turns and the way that the road got there, the fact that, you know, that they went with Luke Harper as a babyface, so to speak, is surprising. I thought, you know, the obvious story would be Randy turning on both of them. But I think what's kind of smart of the story, the way that I assume it's going to play out, is Randy kind of goes in with the Wyatt family, breaks them up, and then still beats Bray Wyatt, you know, because, I mean, that's what I think is going to happen. But I think you have to start appreciating that they have feuds that tell stories now, because for a long time that was kind of the complaint about the company, is that, you know, people just fought for no reason, whereas a storyline like this, there is story to it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
It still suffers kind of the same fate that anything in 2017 WWE TV is going to suffer from, in that you see the matches over and over and over again. But it's an actual story, you know, with like a start, a middle, an end. You know, it starts with them feuding with each other. Then you get Randy joining the family, but there's that dissension. Harper doesn't trust him. Then they seem to be all on the same page. They win the tag belts. Then Harper costs them inadvertently. Or is it inadvertent? You know, stuff like that. And then finally just the implosion, and obviously we see where it's going, you know, with Main Eris. At least we assume we see where it's going with Bray taking on Randy. That's what all the rumors seem to be pointing to. So. Mm. I applaud them for telling a full, long story, not rushing it. I think that's a big thing. Because you said, I mean, TLC, what month was that?
I know.
Is that like December, November?
That was December.
You know, I applaud them for not getting a little antsy, which is what they're guilty of a lot of times.
Right. No, they definitely are. They definitely are. Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of always saw the storyline progressing to the point where Harper would turn, not necessarily maybe go babyface, but mm-hmm. I kind of always assumed that him and Randy would have, you know, tension, and eventually it would spill over, and then eventually Orton would turn on Bray, and maybe that Bray would ask Luke to come back, and then they would feud maybe after Mania, and, you know, just whatever happened after that. But I kind of always saw it being where Harper would probably end up feuding with Wyatt after WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the interesting part of it, is they can go this way where, you know, when it becomes Orton versus Wyatt one-on-one, Harper's out of the picture, so to speak, in the sense of Wyatt doesn't have his help anymore. Right. You know, and Orton can play it off like, this is my plan all along, now you're on your own, and I've got you by myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect, and I think it has taken its time, it has percolated, and they've done a great job of kind of bubbling it to the surface, and you're going to see it probably this coming Tuesday after the show. Having said that, these two are going head-to-head. You know what? I like Luke Harper to win. I'm going to go the Steve Austin. I'm going to go the Steve Austin 2001 route, where he lost to Triple H at the Three Stages of Hell at No Way Out. One of my favorite matches in the history of.
Do you think the match will be as good?
No, absolutely not. I think it'll be solid. It's not that. It ain't gonna be that.
Sure,
at
but
all.
That's like an all-time classic.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it'll be a solid match. But I'm going to go for the upset. I like Luke Harper to win. I don't think it'll be any cheating. I think he'll win clean. What do you think, Logan?
I'm going to pick Orton.
Okay.
Just to keep his hot streak going.
Okay. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I think Orton will win, too.
Dabo Swinney is messing with your Wi-Fi there, Logan. I think you got to jiggle the wire a little bit there.
Okay, you're cutting out on my end, so.
Or maybe Dak Prescott is siphoning my my Wi-Fi because he thinks he can borrow
it. Well, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
He's on T-Mobile now. All right.
No, all right.
So we like two,
yeah,
Randy
Sprint.
Orton. Yes, Sprint. That's right, Sprint. All right. So two for Randy Orton. And I think that Luke Harper wins in an upset. All right. We have a 2-on-1 handicap match. We have Dolph Ziggler, now a heel, which is good, taking on both Apollo Crews and Kalisto. Of course, he's been feuding with both these guys over the last month or so since the heel turn. I think Dolph pins Kalisto to win this match, and I think him and Cruz will have a nice straight up solid, you know, 1-on-1 feud over the next several weeks, maybe leading to something at Mania. We'll see. JD, who do you like here?
I mean, it's got to be Dolph, right? Like, why would you give Apollo Crews and Kalisto the win here? On one hand, I say you got to have the two guys beat the one guy, but I don't know. Dolph's whole story is that he kind of snapped on Kalisto for helping him when Corbin was going to hit him with a chair and said he didn't need any help. And then Apollo came in and he looked like a chump. And
right,
it just feels like this is made for Ziggler to win. I guess you could maybe get away with him losing because it is a handicap match. Get away with him losing and then just beating the piss out of both of them with a chair after the match. But I think he'll win somehow.
Okay, Logan.
Yeah, I like Ziggler to win this one. I think if there is a pre-show match, this will definitely be the one.
For sure.
But, yeah. But, I think Ziggler probably needs to win. And I think it would hurt him more than help him if both of those guys beat him because they're basically nothing pretty much at this point.
Yeah, Kalisto's pretty much fodder. And I want to like Apollo Crews. I want to like Apollo Creed, but Apollo Creed is 10 times better because there's Apollo. I will never call Apollo Crews the Count of Monte Fisto. So there's only one King of Sting and the Count of Monte Fisto, the great Apollo Creed. I think Cruz is owed a nice 1-on-1 feud with Dolph to kind of build his persona, build his gimmick up and his character and him. So I'm going to say Dolph wins, and I think Kalisto eats the pin because that's why he's there.
Yep.
And I think Dolph needs the win. And I agree with you guys. I think if there's any match that ends up sliding to the pre-show, it'll be this one. All right. Next up, the first of three women's matches on this card. My favorite women's wrestler on the roster, Becky Lynch, taking on Matt Rotella's favorite women's wrestler of all time, Donna Christianella. And of course, Mickey's looking smoking hot. Let me tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing
pushing a lady under the train tracks does wonders for her. I guess.
Exactly. Yes. I miss Lay Cool calling her Piggy James though. Remember that? That was so bad. Boy, they really want her out of the company at that point, huh?
Right.
All right. I like this match. I think this is a good match to motivate both of them. Becky, because you don't want her to be, you know, a disillusioned that she's not in the title hunt anymore, although I do think she is. She's the one that's going to take the strap off of Alexa Bliss eventually. As for Mickie James, I think this is a big moment for her. She wrestled a great match against Asuka at TakeOver Toronto, but she wasn't going to last. She wasn't going to stay in NXT. And here she's back on the main roster. This is her spot. And I think this is going to be kind of a surprise match of the night of the three women's matches. But I like Mickey. I think Mickey's going to win. I this is another upset. I like Mickey to win in an upset with maybe Becky Lynch's help. With Alexa Bliss's help. I like Mickey James for the win. Logan, what do you think?
I like Becky to set up the Mania program with Alexa Bliss probably. So I'm going to go with Becky.
Okay. JD?
Yeah. I think, obviously, the story is going to be Becky taking out Alexa, and I think Becky's going to win the belt at Mania. So, realistically, it seems like she'd beat Mickey here to face Alexa there. But I think you could maybe make a case where Mickey gets the win to set up Becky's first challenger, too. You know, she wins the title, then what? Well, if Mickey can say, hey, I beat you, then that's a nice, easy thing to call back to. But I think, I don't know, based off like the Asuka match, I think Mickey's role at this point is more to get these newer ladies some shine by beating an established name. So I think Becky's going to win this one, and I think they're just going to use the simple route, which sometimes simple's best.
I
think you could make a case for Mickey winning for that story. You know, yeah. Becky goes on to win the title, and Mickey says, yeah, you beat Alexa, but remember February when I pinned you. Boom.
Right. Yeah, I'm still, though, I gotta admit, I am a little torn. I'm not sure. Logan, you want to say something? Oh, sorry, JD, go ahead.
I was gonna say, the reason I say that is because Alexa and Becky have had so many matches already. I feel like Mania has to end. It has to end there. You know, they can't just go to Alexa now challenging, because Alexa had five matches and now Becky's had five rematches. They can't keep that going. So that one's got to end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of what they do with Becky moving forward after that.
Yeah.
I could also see a triple threat maybe at Mania with James basically trying to protect Alexa's being champion, so Becky will have to overcome the odds.
Almost like a glorified handicap match.
Pretty much,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. Ah, you guys are killing me. All good analysis. I'm going to stick with Mickey. I have a feeling it's going to go back and bite me in the ass, but I'm going to stick with Mickey to win in an upset.
It could definitely go either way.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Our second women's match of the evening is the You Only Have This Job Because You're Pork and John Cena match, and that is, of course, Natalya and the Nikki Bella, who, of course, is there because she's boning John Cena. The storyline's been funny. The Talk and Smack attack this past Tuesday was great when she was under the table and Natalya just pulled her arm and smacked Nikki's face into the glass. I thought that was pretty fucking cool, to be honest with you. Not that I hate Nikki. I thought it'd be cool if anybody had that done to them, but I don't know. Is art imitating life too much, Logan? I mean, we know that it's not totally true, but is Natalya going a little too far with the whole "you're only doing this because you know you're John Cena's girl"? Do you think that's going too far? Do you think it's almost undermining Nikki's babyface run? Because there are people out there that probably do think that way.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. But, I mean, anybody who's watched knows that Nikki's much improved from when she started. I mean, she's head and shoulders better than she was 3 or 4 years ago. So, I mean, she has talent. So, anybody who actually really thinks that is a moron. But, you know.
Told you, JD. But, jerk.
Listen, I tried to sleep with John Cena too. I wanted to run. At the top.
Now you know why you're on episode 69. Good, Logan. Finish your point.
It ended up being Juan Cena. He fooled me.
Go ahead, Logan.
No, I was pretty much done.
Oh, okay. So, you like Nikki?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So JD, after you did not get the John Cenatio. Instead of C-Nation, it was C-Nation Neo.
I was five knuckles shuffled, Scott.
Oh, God.
Hey, Logan, nice to be on the show with you. It's really great to meet you here,
pal. You
you too.
So you talked smack on the five knuckle shuffle?
A little bit.
Oh, God. Jesus. DeMott will be very proud of you right now.
I'm making jokes because I have not really paid attention to this feud, so I have nothing really to add. I'll agree with Logan. I think Nikki gets the win. And I will say this. If you say, are they going too far? I don't think it's going too far, because I think that's what fans nowadays want. Is so many of us feel like, because we read the Wrestling Observer or this or that, we know what's going on backstage. And so to have a story where that plays into that, like, you know, we fall for that stuff all the time.
Right.
And so in a way it's kind of smart because, like Logan said, there's a lot of people who recognize that Nikki Bella has got good. I've bashed the crap out of her over the years, and she really has improved a lot. But there's going to be that small portion that's always going to hate her, just like there's going to be a small portion that always hates John Cena. That's always, you know, there's some people whose opinions are simply never going to change.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, those people may love this story for that reason, but I don't think it's too far. It's not like, I don't know. Nothing that I've read that about what's been going on is really, I think, over the line or anything like that. Then again, I'm the guy that just mentioned sleeping with a guy named Juan Cena, so why don't we need
it? Oh my god, this is hilarious.
But I feel like Nikki seems like the obvious win. I mean, storyline-wise, she should get the win.
Right, right. No, and I think she will. I think she will. No upset there. I think Nikki Bella does win. And I don't know. I don't want to say that there's Bella oversaturation because technically she's on three shows now. She's on SmackDown Live. They're on Total Divas, and they're on Total Bellas. Incidentally, and we'll get more into Cena in a few minutes because obviously he's in the main event, but did anybody watch – JD, I'm sure you didn't. Logan, did you watch Talking Smack this week?
I did not.
Okay. All right. Never mind then. Because Cena was on, and this was after Nikki got attacked, and he kind of came off a little douchey, like, oh, well, she got hurt. Oh, well. Let's talk about the chamber. I mean, he tried to be coy about it, but I don't know. It came off a little douchey, but I don't know. Maybe that's part of the whole – maybe it's the double storyline with the Total shows where he's kind of acts that way anyway. But
yeah, from what I hear on those shows, he's like super mega heel. All these people that have wanted John Cena as a heel. Just watch Total Divas. Just watch, sounds like you'll get him.
Yeah, he pretty much is. He's kind of like Derek Jeter. I don't think he likes the relationship on. I honestly don't think he likes the relationship on the show. So mm-hmm. I'm sure he's, and I don't think he's good at faking it. So,
yeah.
All right. Next, we have a tag team turmoil match for the Nickel Belts, otherwise known as the WWE. Well, actually, they're both Nickel Belts now, I guess. WWE SmackDown. They're both Nickel Belts. Yeah, the Penny Belts got traded up. The SmackDown Tag Team titles, of course, held by Mr. Gable and Mr. Jordan, not this guy, American Alpha, who were an awesome tag team. Also in this match, Heath Slater and Rhino, your inaugural champions. Breezango, who I think now are babyfaces.
When did that happen?
I don't know, but they were on the babyface side of the multi-team tag match on Tuesday, so I don't know where that came from. And they both were wearing black, which is kind of odd. The Usos, the Ascension. People trying so hard to open the door for me on the bandwagon. It's not going to be easy. Finally, the Vaudevillains, who I didn't even know were still in the company. Aiden English and Simon Gotch. I think this is a match just to get all the great tag teams on the card. What do you think of American Alpha so far, Logan? Since the split, it took them a while to win the belts. They had the whole injury angle. What are your thoughts on the performance of American Alpha since the split?
I mean, I think they've had some great matches, but I feel like they haven't really had anybody really good to work with because the Usos were injured for so long, and I mean, their few matches with the Wyatts are really good, but like, it's hard to get into matches when they're facing Breezango and the Ascension and right. The Vaudevillains every week.
Right.
But I think they can definitely improve now that the Usos are back. And if they decide to bring up the Revival at some point between now and Mania or even after Mania, that could be an amazing program.
Right. What do you think, JD? What do you think of the, American Alpha from the split to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of echo what Logan said. Their wrestling obviously is fine. You saw that in NXT, and when they get called up, it's really no different. But I think the bigger thing, I mean, you look at this match, other teams in the division, and you kind of see why it's fine, but it's not memorable. Because who are they going to feud with? Who are you going to put them in a feud with where anyone's going to be like, oh, American Alpha might lose this? I mean, maybe the Usos, but I mean, the Vaudevillains, no. Ascension, no. I mean, it's strange because they have so many tag teams, but so many of them are like complete afterthoughts that it's hard for them to really get a feud that matters or anything like that. Like the was good, but even that was really part of a bigger story, which we already talked about with Orton and Bray. You know, that was never meant to be about American Alpha. So I think it's kind of a thing where they're doing fine, but they don't really have a lot to do.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
and I think everyone assumes the Revival's like the obvious. They'll come in and face them because people would love to see Revival against American Alpha, and, you know.
Well, they had a great match way back at TakeOver Dallas. It was a tremendous match. And then the rematch a few takeovers later when Revival won the belts back. What do you think of two teams in particular before we get to picks? Let's talk about the Usos, who, of course, turned heel, and then, like the other tag teams, just kind of became, you know, faces in the crowd. Do you think it was a waste of a heel turn, JD?
Yeah, I do, because when they first turned heel, I thought they were pretty effective as heels. You know, they were doing that stuff where they were working the leg really hard and, you know, attacking legs and kind of taking away their flying. And I don't know when the switch happened, but it kind of seemed like they just started doing their babyface style again. And it was like this whole new persona of, like, their angry, bitter guys was just kind of, like, forgotten about. And they're just, like, I think it's a missed opportunity because I think the Usos are really, really good. I think back to a couple of years ago when WrestleMania 30, I think, was when coming out of that show, so many people were optimistic about the product, is looking at who was on top. And the Usos were right there. You know, people were looking at the Usos as this awesome team. And so the talent's there, but they kind of got played out. And I think the heel turn really helped them, but then it just kind of got forgotten about. And I don't really know why.
Hmm. Yeah,
I think they could be pretty good heels if they put some time into them.
Yeah, they still wear like the black tank tops, and they still have, I think, the dark makeup. But yeah, the viciousness that they had when they turned back in, I guess it was October. Has kind of faded. So I agree with you on that. Now the Ascension, we all know the bandwagon I jumped on for them, and then they went to Raw and immediately lost like 67 matches in a row.
They beat the New Age Outlaws, though.
Yes, they did. Yeah, so they were 1-66 on Raw then, and then they moved to SmackDown, and now they got a pin on Tuesday. Is this set them up to win it? I don't know. I actually think. Well, we'll do picks in a minute. But what do you think of the Ascension to this point? Do you think they've been salvaged, Logan?
No. I don't think one victory. I don't think one victory.
Well, fuck you too. No, I'm only kidding.
I'm sorry, but no, that's all right. I think they're still fodder, honestly.
Okay, all right. What do you think, JD?
I know what you think. Well, you know, no, it's not so much that, because I think they're not terrible, but I think you could give them a million victories and people are still just going to write them off. I think they need like a total overhaul in terms of look and everything too.
They can be rebuilt. It's just a matter of whether they're willing to do it.
Yeah, I think you don't just have start winning matches as the same guys. They have to have like some sort of catalyst that changes who they are. Like they start dressing different or things like that, and it leads to wins. You know, you don't just have to be like, and now they can win matches. You know,
what are they going to turn into Southern Justice? They can start wearing jacket
and
ties.
Jim can manage him.
Jim, the Ascension, hillbillies. Okay, but, you know, all right, Victor. All right, Connor. I want you to put on 400 pounds and look like Uncle Elmer.
Fat gut thrust for the win. Glenn Butler would love it.
Yes, he would.
But the funny thing is, as we joke about that, honestly, just giving him a manager might be the trick. You know, like have a guy come in and be like, you know what, you guys don't know what you're doing. You got talent and you're wasting it. And just give him a manager to, like, quote unquote, focus them, you know?
Yeah, bring up Ellering.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Logan, because I almost think, would it hurt for them to go back to NXT?
No.
I mean, they're different than I almost call them the Powers of Pain. The Authors of Pain, would it be great if they came back? They were different than the Authors of Pain. Maybe they kind of need a reboot, and Ellering can have this sweet faction of awesome heel tag teams. And then bring back the Barbarian, because let me tell you something, I went to a convention, that guy could still kick the shit out of you. So I don't know. I don't know if the win Tuesday was just a red herring, you know, just to kind of throw us off for this match. I like American Alpha to retain, because I really do think you're going to have something at WrestleMania with them and Kurt Angle. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
This is a turmoil match, right? Where it's like one match, winner advances, then
I don't. Right? You know what? Who the fuck knows? Remember back in like 2000, 2001 when there was like 47 different tag team. A turmoil match.
Tag was won like every other pay per view.
And they all had the APA in them. According to Wikipedia, tag team turmoil is another version of an elimination tag team match. The match has a team in each of the four corners to start the match, but each team is eliminated. Another team takes its place while leading, similar to a gauntlet match. All right, so they're all going to start in the ring at the same time. So it's in essence a tag team elimination match.
Okay, so it's not like a regular tag match, winner advances, boom.
It's not like it's not an actual gauntlet where they go up the ramp every time. No. All one, okay, two, that's what I thought three, it was. Four, all right, six teams will be around the ring, and once a team gets pinned, they leave the arena. They leave the ring. So that match could be a while. I mean, we're talking that could be a 20-minute match if you have to have five pins. You know what I mean? I like American Alpha to retain. I think they're going to keep them. What do you think, JD?
Oh yeah, for sure. I guess the only question would be who's with them at the end. I mean, the Usos seem like the obvious choice. Maybe Slater and Rhino.
Yeah. I think the Ascension. I think that red herring push may continue. I think the Ascension is last, and American Alpha beats him.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Ascension will get a decent little push in this match. And eventually we'll job. So what do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. But yeah, Alpha's definitely going to win. It's either going to be the Ascension or the Usos for sure.
Yeah. All right, so clean sweep for American Alpha. Incidentally, speaking of tag teams, of course the big announcement was made on Monday that joining Kurt Angle into the class of 2017 WWE Hall of Fame is Ricky and Robert. The Rock and Roll Express, Robert Morton and – I know, I almost always knew that. Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton. I'll be honest with you. I was not the biggest Rock and Roll Express fan. My favorite tag teams in the 80s were obviously the Road Warriors, the Midnight Express, Brainbusters. Those were my favorite tag teams. I was not a huge Rock and Roll Express fan. JD?
Yeah, they're definitely a team I appreciate more as an adult. As a kid, to me – I thought they looked like old guys trying to look cool.
Yeah, they were the girly team.
Of them as a kid watching wrestling.
Now, Logan, you're kind of a newer fan, so you obviously don't remember the Rock and Roll Express in their prime. But you've watched them in matches? I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I've had to watch them as an adult because I didn't have access to them until recently with the WWE Network. But I was born after they were like super popular. So
right.
Yeah, but I enjoy them. They're not my favorite, like you said, but
sure.
I do enjoy their stuff.
Okay. So that's two down and probably five more to go for the class of 2017. Of course, for those that don't know, this year, WrestleMania weekend being a little switched around, the Hall of Fame ceremony will now be Friday night at the Amway Center, and then NXT TakeOver Orlando will be on Saturday night, and then, of course, WrestleMania 33 on Sunday night, April 2nd, from the Camping World Stadium in
Sunday
Orlando.
Night, April 2nd, concluding Sunday night, April 9th.
April 9th. they're going to be on a pickup truck like Bunkhouse Buck and Dustin Rhodes and drive all the way across the country for a whole year
the
and then end
to WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then end in New Orleans next year for WrestleMania 34. So, all right. Our last two matches, both the other two matches with titles on the line. Your SmackDown Women's Championship, your champion, is Alexa Bliss, and she takes on Naomi. Naomi's grown on me over the last month or so. I kind of dig the neon thing. I think it's kind of cool. I think this will be a decent match. I think, obviously, Alexa retains because she needs to keep the belt on her for Becky.
Sure.
JD, any chance Naomi wins here?
No.
No? No. You think it'll be a good match?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. They run the risk of getting a little sloppy and maybe losing it, but like what you said, Naomi's very athletic. She does some pretty cool stuff, and I think Alexa might have to be like the general, so to speak, there.
Right.
So if Alexa can kind of keep her grounded and lead her, I think it could be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not expecting it to like blow me away or anything, but I think it'll be fine.
Okay. Logan, any chance Naomi wins here?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I think Alexa, I think it's pretty safe to say Alexa will retain the title here. And I think it'll be a decent match. All right. Our main event for the first time in 3 years. 2014 was the last time. Yeah, 2014 was the last time we had this pay-per-view in this event, in this setting. An Elimination Chamber match for the World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE Championship. Your champion, of course, JD's boyfriend, Juan Diego Cena, the gardener on the Total Bellas property. And he will be taking on five other guys. The former champion, of course, AJ Styles. Three former WWE champions here. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, and The Miz, as well as Baron Corbin and Bray Wyatt. Obviously, on paper, this seems like a foregone conclusion that Bray Wyatt wins the title. I'm gonna turn the tables. Instead of asking who you guys think is going to win, Logan, I'll start with you. Give me a scenario, if you can, where somebody else could win and it makes sense.
Oh, man, I don't know.
It is hard, right?
Well, I'm glad he told you to go first, man.
Yeah.
You like that? That's me hazing you. No. It's hard, right? I mean, you're not going to have Cena, Orton. Oh, my God. Could you imagine Cena, Orton, WrestleMania? JD will hate everybody for the next 8 weeks.
It's just mainly because I don't know who anybody else is at WrestleMania. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what other guy makes sense?
Because, I mean, none of them, unless you want AJ and Shane to be the WWE Championship match.
Yeah, I guess what you're looking at is, yeah, I guess what you're looking at here is, what are the secondary and tertiary storylines that will come out of this? Obviously, the number one is Bray Wyatt will win the title, win the chamber match on Sunday, and will go head-to-head with fellow family member Randy Orton at WrestleMania. The question is, what are the secondary feuds to come out of this? What are the tertiary feuds to come out of this? So I'll make it easier for you, Logan. That was more like a Madison Bumgarner curveball. I will give you I'll give you give me some stiff on the Tigers, JD. Who's some bum?
Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander fastball in 4 years, not necessarily even now. No.
Yeah, right.
Give me a secondary storyline that comes out of this match.
I think Dean probably faces Corbin at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship.
Hmm. I like that. I don't think anybody's really talked about that, huh?
Yeah, I think that could really help Corbin because I think him and Ambrose could probably have a pretty good match.
Right. Okay. That's not a bad theory. I like that a lot, actually, because we do need an Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania, because I feel, and I'll talk about this more down the line, I'll even mention it. I'll probably mention it when we have although the way the main event schedule, not the next episode, but the episode after will actually be the Wednesday after Fastlane. So it'll be a recap episode. Now I think that they are going to transfer the ladder match at WrestleMania from the Intercontinental belt to the Cruiserweight belt. I think the Cruiserweight title is going to be the is going to be the ladder match. I talked to Rotel, actually, and I came up with that today after I shook him. So I think that I like the Corbin Ambrose, and I think Corbin wins. I think that's his turning point. That's his turning point 1 year after winning the Battle Royal. JD, what happens with AJ in this match, do you think?
Gosh, that's the hardest part about this. I mean, we keep talking how Bray Wyatt's kind of the obvious winner just because of Orton kind of looming large there. But even that part, like, I don't even know how Bray Wyatt wins, you know? Like, how would AJ lose here? Because I don't think they want him just to get pinned again. You look at it, I don't think Bray Wyatt would pin him. I guess Cena pins him. I don't know. That's the only thing that I think makes sense is Cena pins AJ.
I think AJ pins Cena.
Yeah, okay.
I think AJ pins Cena and Corbin pins AJ.
Hmm. Well, that's odd. Okay.
And then Ambrose pins...
Comes down to Ambrose and Bray.
Oh, you know what I just thought of? AJ has issues. Both AJ and The Miz have issues with Shane and your boy. What's to say that's not a tag match at WrestleMania? Or is that too TV sounding? Miz and AJ against Shane and one night only Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I don't think Daniel's gonna have a match.
Okay.
I'd love it, but I believe it when I see it.
Right. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
What do we do?
I do think what you could see is, and this is just based off rumors, you know, and one rumor that I've seen a few times is Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maryse. Is possibly Cena pins Miz and Miz loses it and destroys him, and that's what costs Cena the match, like a skull crushing finale out on the steel, and then he gets pinned or something like that.
That's entirely possible. Sure.
Yeah, I could see that as a possibility. But I guess my thing is, I don't see Bray Wyatt pinning John Cena to win the belt. I don't think that's how it. I don't think it'd be that simple.
No, I don't think it'd be that simple either.
Cena's gonna have to get screwed somehow. I don't know by who or how, but
So who maybe even that. Maybe Cena pins AJ again, and AJ snaps and just destroys him and brings out Shane, who's furious with him for not leaving the chamber, and AJ gets physical with Shane, and that starts a feud that nobody really wants, but we all kind of know that it's going to happen. So maybe AJ like refuses to leave the chamber and just keeps pummeling Cena and draws out the general manager or the commissioner, whatever his role is.
Yeah, yeah, I love Shane, but AJ deserves better at WrestleMania. But
yeah, he sure does.
That's what we're going to get.
All right, so we all like AJ to win, and we all like Bray Wyatt to win the chamber match on Sunday and win the WWE his first, finally, after, good God, what, 4 years or 3.5 years?
And, you know, I mean, I've been critical about them for that for so long, is that he's this guy that they try to present as a monster, but he can never win. And so they actually have him win. Awesome. Yeah. And he might lose it next month, but, you know, with baby steps, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. He probably does pin Dean. I think I like that. Who said that? You did, JD, right? That he probably pins Dean.
Yeah. There's some history there, and Dean can always, you know,
eat the pin. Maybe Corbin costs him after Dean pins him.
Could be.
I don't know if every babyface win. I don't know if any of the babyfaces get pinned clean. That's just how, you know. That's just the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so there is this Sunday's Elimination Chamber. And, of course, you can see it on the WWE Network. At the moment, looks like there is no pre-show match. Looks like all 7 matches will be on the show proper.
Who's even on the roster that's not on this card? Mojo Rawley?
Yeah, thank God.
Spot it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Great, I mean.
Kurt Hawkins.
Versus Mojo Rawley.
Pre-show match.
Yeah, Jesus. That's more like a mid-afternoon match. That's like
let's not give him any ideas.
Yeah, please, let's not. Let's hope that I want them to listen, but maybe not.
Edit that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then we so there you go. There is Elimination Chamber show for Saturday and then Sunday. Listen to me, I'm thinking about it next day. And then we look ahead, and our next outing will be in 3 weeks. Fastlane, Raw's final pay-per-view before WrestleMania. And that is on Sunday, March 5th, from the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, as Alice Cooper said in Wayne's World 2. Milwaukee, of course, Milwaukee. Steve Willie's, I think his son's actually wrestling in a mask.
Steve Willie will be in attendance for Fastlane.
Yes, and I think his son is wrestling for the U.S. title. In that, as Lucha Cub. Lucha Rizzo. I think he's going to be Lucha Rizzo. Anyway. We'll take a break here in the main event. Great job, guys. Fantastic. When we return, we're going to go through the history books. JD remembers us doing this a while back in the main event archives. I think it was with October pay-per-views. Tonight we'll do February pay-per-views, and we'll go through the WWE history. And if we have time, maybe we'll go through WCW history, because there have been some awesome Super Brawls that have occurred in the month of February. One of my favorites, Super Brawl 2 in 1992. And I know it's Mr. Chad Campbell's, one of his favorite shows of all time. And no, it doesn't have John Akiyama in it, but it might just be as good. All right, well, we'll be back. JD, Logan, myself, more Main Event after this. I wasn't asking you anything. How many times have you been on the show?
Because...
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran Main Event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episodes to the JR Cidio D'Amato episode of the Main Event, episode 69, and of course the one night I don't have him on. Anyway, Scott Criscolo here with two excellent guests. Well, one excellent guest and usually one mediocre guest. Logan Crosland, of course, and Jordan Duncan. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Survey Says, a WCW retrospective number 6. Part 1 for this supersized edition of Survey Says. Andy and Tim are joined by perhaps the most controversial guest in Place to Be Nation history, Matt Rotita. No, I'm sorry. No asshole. No people would put him on anything
no
else.
No controversy there. We all hate him.
Yeah, exactly. The outlaw vigilante, loose cannon known as Travis Banks, for a topic for a topic so big that no single episode could contain it. I'm going to leave it at that. So check it out. Survey Says, a WCW retrospective number 6, part 1. The ninth episode of Geek and Sassy. Moms by day, Netflix bingers by night, Jennifer and Miranda are friends who will gush over their fandoms for hours with anyone. They're also known to fight over who gets to have Stephen Amell as a second husband. I don't know if anybody would want to live in Star City. That's like the creepy fuck section.
Oh,
like,
man,
Gotham.
Could you imagine? Like, why would you live there if you were just a citizen?
Think of the, think about it. Think of the four CW cities right now. You've got National City, which is where Supergirl lives.
Yep.
You've got Central City, which is like the nice, shiny, pretty city. And then, you know, obviously Legends, they're in, you know, they're all over the place.
Over
and then you've
place,
got Star City, which is like the Detroit of
the
DC universe.
85% chance you will be murdered.
Yes, it's the Detroit of the DC universe. So, but Stephen Amell, of course, is the brooding bad guy, like Green Arrow. You know, of course, we're talking about he's the actor that plays Arrow, of course, and he beat up Cody Rhodes right into the American Bullet Club. Anyway, in episode number 9. Of Geek and Sassy, Jennifer and Miranda, they share some of their favorite podcasts, discuss some reads and streams, and pose an important question. Then they debut a new segment with a somewhat unique title. Of course, no podcast is complete without a taste of nerd eye candy. So check out the 9th and newest episode of Geek and Sassy. JR and I continue our Vintage Vault refreshes. We just put up the June 20th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. The 1-2-3 Kid takes on Nikolai Volkoff, and the winner gets a shot at Bret Hart's World Wrestling Federation Championship on the July 11th episode of Raw.
Wow.
Can you imagine Nikolai Volkoff getting a title shot in 1994?
Watch
or
the
ever, for that matter.
Watch the episode, and you'll see whether he does or not. No. I was kind of blown away too, but that was the whole storyline with the corporation. So, newest episode of Sellers Points Rebook, new column, Green Lantern, Mr. Hal Jordan, and the other guys that were always Green Lantern. The newest episode, the newest edition of the excellent WWE Network Adventure is up. The May 23rd, 1985 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. Hoop Nation number 4, you, my friend. Mr. Crosland, Valentine's Day B-ball. What do we got to look forward to in the newest issue or newest column?
Just a lot of ACC dominance, some Big East craziness, just a little bit of everything.
All right.
Kentucky struggling.
Yeah. When you hesitated, I thought you were going to give me a Jordan Duncan answer like, I don't know, I didn't write it. Oh, wait. My kid wrote it. Hoop Nation number 4 with Isaac. No, I'm only kidding. Logan, great job. You've always done a great job with the Hoop Nation. Of course, it was an honor, sir.
Steph Curry love letter if my son wrote that.
Exactly. Yes. Just
love
like
letter to Steph Curry.
Just like the doctor's the doctor's daughter. She is also a Steph lover. She has one of the what do they call them? The SC balls or the blue and the blue and yellow ball. She bought one of those.
I'll see him play at the Forum tomorrow night.
Oh, cool. Oh. I will be at the Palace of Auburn Hills watching the Pistons play the Spurs tomorrow night.
Oh, wow. So you're both going to watch your teams get blown out. That's awesome.
Most definitely.
JD, I got to talk. You know what? Let me finish plugging the site, and then I want to ask you about your venues for sports in your city.
Sure.
So anyway, check out Mr. Crosland's Hoop Nation number 4, Valentine's Day B-Ball. And, of course, Monday, JR and I did the most recent episode of the Place B podcast, episode 436. We went back to our office at the Garden for the July 13th, 1985 WWF House Show. So check that out. That was on Monday as well. And then, of course, the NBA team podcast, Groovin' or Grindin', Mr. Reish and Mr. Murray. So placementnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Check out our ebook publications. The link is on the right. Also, you can go to Amazon, buy whatever you like, and we get a little taste. So just go through the site. There is an ad on placementnation.com right now that says Hot Latin Beauties. Okay. So D'Amato is infiltrating the site. Okay. And, of course, you check out the Place to Be podcast index. You can check out all the – including the formerly awesome Kevin Kelly Show, which, of course, we have the archive as well. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. JD, you were talking – you just said you're going to the Palace. And I got an interesting question for you, because there's a guy I work with who grew up in Detroit and we're talking about, you know, your buildings, which cracks me up that, you know, because your city is broke. Meanwhile, they've got like 37 sports venues. I know that the new building that's going to house the Red Wings, first of all, it's a fucking crime that the Joe is being knocked down. I just want to put that on record right now to you, sir. You, sir! That it's a crime that the Joe is being knocked down. It was bad enough in 1980 when the Olympia got knocked down.
I am solely responsible for that.
You son of a bitch. Now, it sounds like the new building that's going to house the Red Wings will also house the Pistons.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's official.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what the hell is wrong with the Palace? The place is barely – it's like knocking down the Georgia Dome for that bundt cake thing that's being built in Atlanta.
I can tell you
what the hell is wrong with the Palace?
The reason why is because the Palace isn't actually in Detroit. It's like 45 miles away, and everyone hates going there.
Well, then why they do it in the first place?
Because nobody wanted to be in Detroit.
Because Detroit was a shithole, that's why.
You know, nobody wanted to be in Detroit when they built the Palace, and now it's kind of like cool to go back to Detroit again, at least where the sporting events are and stuff. That little part of downtown is fine. So, you know, they're bringing it back.
There isn't one huge parking lot for all three places, right? For the indoor venue, Ford Field and Comerica?
Ford Field has a giant parking structure, but it's not nearly enough for, you know, however many people come to those games. Ford Field's the worst. You know, if you go to anything at Ford Field, it's going to take forever for you to get out of there. But everything else is just kind of park where you can find it. There's lots everywhere, but there's not one big, you know, this is a lot for parking.
How many Lions games you been to?
At Ford Field, just one.
Did they win?
It was preseason, so yes, they did.
They won because it didn't count.
Yeah.
The all-time backfire.
Do you like the Palace? Is it a nice building?
Yeah, it's fine. It really is just kind of sort of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's going there tomorrow. Like the game starts, I think 7, and we're leaving at like 5 o'clock to get there. I mean, it's kind of a pain to go. I mean,
and now that
the Pistons aren't any good, there's no incentive to go. You know, a few years ago when they were competitive, when they're in the playoffs all the time, you know, you'll make that hike to see a team that's good, that's competitive, that can win, but. You know, if they're not winning,
right?
Nobody's going out to the Palace,
right? Right.
So I just myself personally, I'll go to more Pistons games now that they're going to be downtown Detroit because that's a 20-minute drive for me, whereas the Palace is over an hour away.
Now, what about Comerica?
They're all like right next to each other. Yeah, all three of them, Comerica and Ford Field are literally right next door to each other, and then the new stadium's in walking distance. All three of them. Yep.
Do you like Comerica? Do you miss Tiger Stadium?
Sort of. I miss it for nostalgia purposes, but like I remember going to games and sitting like directly behind like a giant metal pole, and you could see nothing. You know,
I also know somebody who went to a Tigers game in like '96 or '97, and they had to walk along this catwalk that was like precariously shaking or whatever. And
oh, it was terrifying to go to a Tiger Stadium back in the day.
Yeah. So, I was just curious. I'm a purist myself. I mean,
sure.
The Olympia was a cool place I've heard back in the day when the Red Wings played. But the Joe just has it's the Joe, man. I mean, you know, Stevie Y and McCarty and I kind of always like the Red Wings are kind of always my Western Conference team. And I hate seeing the Joe get knocked down. Is it going to get demolished?
You know, they haven't decided that yet. I don't think it will right away because they do the auto show there and you know, there's a lot of concerts there and stuff still, but I think it's just a matter of time.
Ugh,
you know,
that sucks. Comes in.
Well, same thing with Tiger Stadium. For a long time, people fought to have it, you know, kept up, even though it was empty, but it's gone now.
And now, so. And isn't the place going to be called, like, Little Caesars Arena or something?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Jesus Christ.
You know, how do you not call it Little Caesars Palace? Like, how do you miss that? You know?
Really, though.
Such an obvious name. I think
CeCe's is one notch below Little Caesars for pizza that just looks like vomit on crust.
Little Caesars is the grossest pizza
it is fucking disgusting.
In the world.
There used to be a Little Caesars near where I grew up, and my buddy, one afternoon when I was in, like, I don't know, I think I was a freshman in high school, we all got it one Friday. We were studying for stuff over the weekend, and we were doing a project. And her mom and my buddy's mom brought Little Caesars. And back then, it used to be in like a tray with a bag, and they used to staple the bag closed. And a staple got into the pizza. My friend almost swallowed it. So I thought to myself, could this be the most fucking stupidest idea for pizza I've ever seen in my life? Yeah. And then on top of that, the pizza tastes like fucking shit. And then there was some better.
It's like cardboard. It's gross.
It's fucking gross. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of go off the path because I was talking to a guy I work with who grew up in Detroit as well.
Well, if you ever come to Detroit, we can go to a Tiger game together and pay $8 or $9 for a slice of Little Caesars pizza at
what?
The Tiger game. So,
what? That's $9 for that garbage?
Something like that. You know.
Ugh, God.
You got to figure, like, Mike Ilitch, the owner of the Tigers, owns Little Caesars, so that's
of course. Well, he's an idiot. Well, he's not Italian, so no wonder it tastes like shit.
I don't even think he's alive. I think he's been dead for 20 years.
Weekend at the Ilitch's.
Yeah, basically. That's almost exactly what I think it is.
Oh, God. All right, let's get back on track. All right, guys, so we previewed the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in our first segment. Why don't we go through the history books a little bit and talk about some of the best moments in the history of the February pay-per-view. Sure. Now, I want to try to get to WCW, but obviously we'll go to the Flamethrower first. Obviously, for a long time, we did not have anything in February. For a very long time, we usually went right from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. But obviously in mid-95, the WWF followed suit after WCW went monthly starting in, 93, I think, or 92, I guess. Mid-92. So they started going monthly after WrestleMania 11. So 1996 was the first year that we had a February pay-per-view. February 18th, 1996, In Your House 6, retroactively titled Rage in the Cage, took place in Louisville at the Louisville Gardens. That, of course, do you remember that card, JD? That was Bret Hart defended the world title against Diesel in the cage. Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart had a fantastic match for the number one, a fantastic match for Shawn's Rumble shot.
That was after, Owen had super kicked him and, knocked him out.
Gave him the concussion, right? Yep. That's a great match.
The Enziguri of Doom.
The Enziguri of Doom, yes. Now, you were 3 days old, Logan, when this show happened? Do you remember anything about this show?
I was two and a half, but pretty much all I remember is Undertaker pulling Diesel through the ring at the end of the cage match.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And obviously the Shawn Michaels Owen Hart match, which is a great match.
Yes. Let me check quickly some other... the other matches on that card. That's on the pre-show. The actual
shows had so many dark matches back then.
This one had four.
Those pay-per-views were only 2 hours, and even then they'd only go an hour and 40.
Right. The matches on the air were Razor Ramon beat 1-2-3 Kid. That was the crybaby match with the big baby bottle. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Whatever happened to that guy? Beat Duke the Dumpster Drosy. Yeah, loser. Yokozuna defeated the British Bulldog by DQ. Shawn Michaels defeated Owen Hart. Bret Hart defeated Diesel. The dark matches were Ahmed Johnson defeated Isaac Yankum. Whatever happened to that guy? The Godwins defeated the Body Donnas, and Undertaker defeated Goldust by countout for the Intercontinental title. I think it's safe to say that that Shawn and Owen was the
match of the night.
Was the match of the night. Yeah, I think so. The following year, we kind of had that big controversy with, if I type this right, we had that big controversy with,
This is a cool concept, I thought.
Yes. What happened, of course, if you remember,
Stone Cold cheated to win the Royal Rumble.
Yes. So they decided to have a final four match where the final four competitors of the Royal Rumble would have a little mini rumble to decide who would be the now vacant World Wrestling Federation title, because that previous Tuesday or Thursday, Raw Thursday, the world title was vacated when Shawn lost his smile. Of course, that was won by Bret Hart, and that was, of course, the infamous match where Vader got smoked in the head by the Undertaker's steel chair, and his face pretty much fell out of his mask. It was a pretty good bloody brawl. Let's see. That was Mark Marrow defeated Leaf Cassidy. The Nation of Domination defeated Bart Gunn, Goldust, and Flash Funk. Rocky Maivia defeated Hunter.
Maybe the greatest six-man team of all time.
Bart Gunn, Goldust, and Flash Funk.
You are so funky. Rocky Maivia defeated Hunter Hearst Helmsley in a singles match for the IC title. Doug Furness and Phil LaFond defeated Owen Hart and the British Bulldog by disqualification for the tag team titles. And as mentioned, Bret Hart beat Steve Austin, Vader, and The Undertaker in a Four Corners elimination match for the vacant WWF Championship.
One thing I remember about that match is they weren't real clear with how that match went, and it ended up being if you got tossed over, you were out, right? in that Four Corners? Isn't that how some people lost?
I think you got. I think you could get pinned, cement, or thrown over. Yeah.
Yeah. They all. I think
so
they all got
eliminated with. Yeah. Somebody got eliminated with the throw over, and it was like, what just happened?
I'm pretty sure they all. I'm pretty sure they all got chucked over. I'm pretty sure they all got chucked over.
Yeah.
So. Right.
Fake Diesel was the real loser in that one because he was actually in the final four of the Royal Rumble that year.
Yes. Now, the following year, we retitled the February show, and we retitled it what it would be for the next several years, and that would be No Way Out, except they added it No Way Out of Texas in Your House, which took place that year in 1998. It took place in Houston at the
Texas.
Compact Center.
Texas.
Yes, it was in Texas. That was the year that Shawn Michaels sat out the pay-per-view because of the back injury he suffered at the Rumble when he hit the hinge of casket. Mm-hmm. So your main event was actually a pretty awesome non-sanctioned eight-man tag brawl. If you've never seen this match, Logan, highly recommend it. Steve Austin.
Oh, no, I've definitely seen it.
Oh, my God. Steve Austin, Owen Hart, Cactus Jack, and Chainsaw Charlie, who, of course, was Terry Funk, against Triple H, Savio Vega, which was that disappointing surprise guy to replace Shawn, and the New Age Outlaws. Great match. What a brawl. Fantastic brawl.
Cool.
Highly recommend it.
Good match.
The rest of the card, Headbangers defeated Taff Cag and Mark Mero. What a fucking weird combo that is.
Taff Cag?
The artist formerly known as Goldust.
Oh.
Taff Cag. Coming out with the ball gag.
Who's Taff
Cag? When he put on like 30 pounds and had that stupid ball gag.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What a mess.
He's 4 months pregnant.
His hair was all fucking mussed up and everything. Taka Michinoku defeated Pantera to successfully retain his light heavyweight title. The Godwins, back again, defeated the Quebecers. Remember? Jacques had that bad mullet, and they were like so ridiculously oiled up, and their like tan was ridiculous. They were so tanned up, it was crazy. Justin Bradshaw defeated Jeff Jarrett by disqualification for the NWA North American Heavyweight Title.
That was garbage.
Ken Shamrock, Ahmed Johnson, and the Disciples of Apocalypse defeated the Nation of Domination in a War of Attrition match. Kane defeated Vader, and I think that's the show where Vader infamously called himself a fat shit on the mic. And then, of course, the 8-man unsanctioned tag. Yeah, I highly recommend that 8-man tag, Logan. If you've never seen it, JD, you've definitely seen it.
Oh yeah,
it's a fun little brawl. I have to say, it's a pretty fun little brawl.
Yeah, I've seen it before. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. The next
can't
month,
say that. Well, sorry.
No. What were you saying? No, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say you can't really say that about the rest of the card, but the last match was pretty solid.
Yeah.
This was still when Kane's matches were all in that like red light, correct?
No, I think by
then. No, it wasn't.
No, I think they did.
Much just Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think In Your House DX. I think they did it too.
Okay.
I think In Your House DX they did it too, and then they ditched it after that because it was fucking stupid.
yeah, it was.
All right, now the next month was pretty awesome because it had that awesome open. The February pay per view actually fell on Valentine's Day, and of course it was called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which took place, Mr. Crosland, in the building you're going to be in. What is it? Tomorrow night or Saturday night? Tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night. Yeah.
Tomorrow night at the FedEx Forum. Well, actually, no. I'm sorry. It was at the old Pyramid. In Memphis.
Yep.
It was at the Pyramid. Of course, this was highlighted by that awesome Austin McMahon cage match, which is pretty cool. But also on this card, JD, an unheralded Bob Holly, Al Snow hardcore match. Remember the one that they fought near the Mississippi River and they threw like wooden pallets at each other? That was actually a really fun match.
It was. Yeah, it kind of led to the hardcore matches we know it, and it really derailed from there. But that was kind of like one of those early matches where it was wild and it was pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Rest of that card, Goldust defeated Blue Dust. that's like John Cena beating Juan Cena. The Big Boss Man defeated Midian. Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
This is such a you show right here. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, they were the tag champions. What a great tag team, huh? Fantastic tag team. Defeated Mark Henry and D'Lo Brown. Val Venus, which rhymes with you-know-what, defeated Ken Shamrock for the IC belt with Billy Gunn as referee. That's the one where Ken Shamrock infamously said to Ryan Shamrock,
slap me,
slap me. Yeah, hit me, hit me. fucking.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Which always tells, which is the moral of the story always is from John, from J. Arsenio D'Amato, never trust strippers. tag team match, the Corporation defeated DX. Mankind and The Rock ended in a draw. Remember, that was that last man standing match where I thought Rock legitimately knocked himself out with the ladder. I remember watching it live and thinking that was a shoot that Rock really got knocked out. I didn't think it was supposed to end like that. And of course the next night Rock won the belt back in the ladder match. And then of course, Steve Austin beat Mr. McMahon, to take Vince's title shot. And of course, Steve went on to WrestleMania 15 in Philly to win the,
and the debut of, the Big Show.
And the Big Show came through the canvas. So, the following year, 2000, we finally officially use the term No Way Out. And we would have that would be the title of the February pay-per-view for the next decade. The first one, February 27th, 2000, I was at. It was at the Hartford Civic Center. That, of course, was one of my favorite matches of all time. And I'm being totally biased here, and I don't care. And that was Triple H and Cactus Jack inside Hell in a Cell. Big Show beat The Rock. Of course, I also got to see Kurt Angle's first championship win when second championship win when he defeated Chris Jericho to win the IC belt. He had already beaten Val Venus, which rhymes with you know what, to win the European belt. That was when the New Age Outlaws era as tag champions ended. They lost to the Dudleys. Mark Henry defeated Viscera. Edge and Christian beat the Hardys.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Mark Henry and Viscera.
Yeah. How about that? Had a lot of beef in that ring. Edge and Christian defeated the Hardys in a number one contenders match. Taz beat the Big Boss Man by DQ. X-Pac beat Kane in a no-holds-barred match. Too Cool defeated the Radicals in a six-man tag. Big Show beat The Rock in a singles match to determine the number one contender. They kind of fought for the Rumble win, and then Triple H won in the Cell. I enjoyed that match. That was actually a great card live. A lot of energy in that card.
Everybody was hugely over at that time.
But not as hugely over as they would be the following year. For I still contend. I still contend. And if I don't know if you've seen this show, Logan, but if you have, highly recommend it. Maybe the greatest secondary pay-per-view of all time. No Way Out, 2001, from the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. Top to bottom, again, one of the greatest cards ever. Listen to this card. Big Show defeated Raven in a hardcore title match, and even that match was really entertaining. Jericho, Benoit, Eddie, and X-Pac in a four-way for the IC belt.
I love this match.
Tremendous match.
That was a great match.
Stephanie defeated Trish Stratus, which actually even that match was moderately
entertaining. Shockingly good, yeah.
Yes.
Arguably, again, like the previous year, although this one most definitely is probably one of my three favorite matches of all time. Triple H defeating Steve Austin in the Three Stages of Hell match. Where is that for you, JD, in your like hierarchy of matches? Is it in your top 10 at least?
Probably not. It's definitely, I would say, top 10 Triple H matches for sure. Maybe top 5. Really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I loved it.
Okay. Logan, have you ever seen that match?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite matches for a long time. But yeah, it's probably still top 10 for me.
Yeah, it's a tremendous match. Steven Richards.
Yeah, I had this on tape. I had this on tape when I was a little kid. So
I actually still have the tape. It was the only. This is weird. It was the only pay per view in 2001 that was not on. That was not on DVD. Every other pay per view that year was released on DVD, except this one. This one was the last pay per view officially released on VHS. Isn't that weird? Very strange. Although I think WrestleMania 17 was on both VHS and DVD, and I think that was it after that. The Dudley Boys defeated Edge and Christian and the Brothers of Destruction in a triple threat tables match for the tag team titles, and then The Rock beat Kurt Angle to win the world title. Just a fantastic show. I mean, it really is. Highly recommend.
Yeah, the Rock Angle match nobody ever talks about because the Triple H match is so good, but that Rock and Angle match is awesome.
Oh, the Rock and Angle match is tremendous. I absolutely agree with you.
I love the build to that because if you remember, Kurt Angle did that fake sit-down interview with The Rock where he was mocking him. And
yeah, he,
Rock
he,
was Yeah, it
he took
good.
The,
it
yeah
cool.
he took the clip from like it was like Rock from like 97 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that or like 98.
Cool about it was Rock wasn't the comedy one. Angle was the one telling jokes, and Rock was like real serious. Like you're running out of time, and he kept going TikTok.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah,
TikTok. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Anyway, for those that have never seen it, No Way Out 2001 is probably the greatest secondary pay-per-view of all time.
Excellent show.
The following year was not. But No Way Out 2002, which was in Milwaukee, of course, is most memorable because it was the debut in WWE of course, the... of course, the new World Order. Hulk Hogan,
World Order.
For the first time since that debacle... Well, not actually, I shouldn't say that. His first pay-per-view appearance since the 1993 King of the Ring, Hulk Hogan returned to the WWF with Hall and Nash. And, of course, they interfered and cost Stone Cold Steve Austin the world title against Chris Jericho. The rest of this card is APA beat Billy and Chuck in a tag team turmoil match. I don't know who the rest of the – let me see who the rest of the teams were.
I got it.
It was – okay, go ahead. Who was it?
Scotty Too Hotty and Albert, probably going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Hip Hop Hippos. Remember, he was Hip Hop Hippo.
Christian and Lance Storm, the Un-Americans. I don't know if they were Un-American at this point. The Hardys, the Dudleys, and Billy and Chuck.
There you go. I love Billy and Chuck. Good team. You. That's like the Matt Rotella song.
Wow, the Hardys lost to Billy and Chuck in that match.
Good to me. All right. RVD defeated Goldust, Taz and Spike. Defeated Booker T and Test by submission for the world title. I forgot that they still had the belts. No Way Out.
Jazz and Spike, wow.
Yeah. William Regal defeated Edge in a brass knuckles on a pole match for the IC belt. Rock defeated Taker. And I remember this match not being as atrocious as their past pay-per-view matches.
Yeah, they had some bad ones, though.
Like, that 99 King of the Ring match is fucking terrible.
Oh, it's so bad.
This match is not as bad. Kurt Angle, Triple H. They were always really weird together. Like, they weren't terrible, but they weren't,
but you were
like,
expecting it to be really good, and it just never
It never
was.
Really reached that point, yeah. And then the main event, again, Chris Jericho retained against Steve Austin. But obviously that was more known for the NWO making its WWF debut, and of course the long-awaited return to the WWF of Hulk Hogan.
And if you thought that was bad...
Oh, Jesus God. 1 year later, we go up to Montreal, No Way Out 03... this show's fucking terrible. Chris Jericho defeated Jeff Hardy by submission. That's when Jeff Hardy was completely fucking whacked out, and then he would end up leaving the company at that point. William Regal and Lance Storm defeated Kane and RVD to retain the red belts, the World Tag Team titles. Matt Hardy defeated Billy Kidman to retain the Cruiserweight title. Undertaker defeated Big Show by submission. Brock Lesnar and Chris Benoit defeated Team Angle in a handicap match. Remember, that's when Edge got hurt and was out for over a year. Triple H defeated Scott Stugood in a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. I always say that, believe it or not, Logan, JD knows this already. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, Logan, this match makes me more angry than the Royal Rumble match. And as we all know, the Royal Rumble match is a fucking disgusting atrocity in its own right. But that one at least was comedic. Like, that had some funny points. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually watching this piece of shit. And then the next month, you're like, you're not even laughing. You're like, you gave us this fucking crap again? Mm-hmm. Like, if those go back to the archives and listen to JR's and my No Way Out 03 vault, I'm like, Street Fight, maybe? I don't know. Fucking Hell in a Cell? I don't know. But you give us the exact – you already knew that the one at the Rumble was an undisputed disaster. You give us the exact same match again? Terrible. No excuse. No excuse. Yeah. And this is where I wish people would get off my back about me being a this much of an apologist for Triple H. I have vehemently criticized Triple H when it is warranted. And that match was a fucking atrocity. Steve Austin defeated Eric Bischoff. And then it wrapped up with The Rock defeating Hulk Hogan in the rematch from WrestleMania 18.
Yeah, not quite on the level of their WrestleMania match.
No, absolutely not. the following year, we actually had one of the greatest moments in the history of the company. The show is mediocre. No Way Out 04 from the Cal Palace in San Francisco. Of course, this is remembered for the tremendous WWF Championship win by the late, great Eddie Guerrero, who defeated Brock Lesnar. And isn't it ironic, or coincidental, or non sequitur, that, 13 years later, the same thing could happen again? Brock Lesnar was the champion going in. Eddie beat him, and who interfered?
Goldberg.
Really? In a month, boys, or in what, 4 weeks, Goldberg's taking on Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship. Interesting. The rest of this card is the shits. Oh, my God, listen to this. Ready? Get your barf bag ready. Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati defeated the Bash Brothers and Shaniqua. That's one of JD's favorites, Shaniqua. I think D'Amato liked her, too. In a handicap match for the tag team title. Oh, God, fucking Bashams. Jamie Noble defeated Nydia by submission in a blindfold match. Remember she was blind?
Yeah. That was awesome.
Oh, God. World's Greatest Tag Team defeated the APA. Hardcore Holly defeated Rhino. What the fuck did those two wrestle for? Chavo defeated Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight title.
Long. They needed to fill a card. That's why Hardcore Holly
didn't run. Yeah.
Right.
Kurt Angle defeated John Cena and Big Show by submission in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender at WrestleMania 20. And then, as mentioned, it may be one of the greatest moments in the history of the business. One of the greatest matches in the history of the business, Eddie Guerrero defeated Brock Lesnar to become WWE champion.
That triple threat match was pretty good.
It was. It was. Yes, it was. And that Kurt Angle Brock Lesnar Eddie Guerrero match, one to watch. Believe me.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic. The following year, we went to Pittsburgh, No Way Out 05. The highlight of that one was John Cena winning the number one contender slot over Kurt Angle at the end of the tournament. And then JBL, the champion, beat the Big Show in that crazy barbed wire steel cage match when Big Show was going through the door, but he had chokeslammed JBL through the ring, and JBL climbed out from under the ring before Big Show went through the door to retain the title. That's one
wasn't
of those.
There some wasn't there some controversy around this time because of the barbed wire with the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission?
Yeah, there was. There was. Is it on this? Let me see.
Remember they hyped it up as like this brutal match, and then when the match actually happened, it was just a cage match with barbed wire at the top.
Yeah,
of the
that no one ever touched. Yeah, no, I
agree. Yeah, they don't even use it. So I mean,
yeah, it was nonsense. It was nonsense. The following year, now we're starting to get to some of these forgettable shows. The No Way Out 06, which took place in Baltimore, this was remembered for the excellent, that terrible Orton Rey Mysterio match. But the underrated, and this is another match, Logan, if you have never seen, you have to see it. Kurt Angle and The Undertaker for the world title.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Tremendous match. Tremendous match. And I remember watching this at my friend Mike's house. And I remember the first 5 minutes going, wow, this match is going to suck.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's
something
what I was thinking in my head is what was so cool about that match is it started pretty crappy.
Yeah,
and then it's just really good.
Yeah, something happened on the outside 5 minutes in, and then the next 24 minutes is pure gold. I don't know what the fuck happened, but the two of them flipped a switch, and the match is outstanding.
Yeah, great match.
So, the following year, No Way Out 2007 was the final branded pay per view until Backlash 2016. Wow. Because then there was WrestleMania 23, and then the following month, Backlash 07, all the shows were all mushed. So, this show is, I don't remember much of the show at all. this was the show that had the two Mania main events in a tag. You had John Cena and Shawn Michaels beat Batista.
I like that match. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Also had Little Boogeyman.
Yes, Little Booger. Little Boogie. Finley and Little Bastard defeated Boogie and Little Boogie. Kane defeated Booker. London and Kendrick defeated Deuce and Domino with the most underrated valet of all time, the Delicious Cherry. Kennedy defeated Lashley by DQ for the ECW. And the rest of the show was kind of the shits. Now we're getting to some forgettable times. But forgettable pay-per-views, but memorable concepts, because No Way Out 2008 in Vegas was the first February pay-per-view to have the Elimination Chamber, and there were two of them.
One per brand.
Both of them were number one contenders matches, chamber matches. The Undertaker won one, and Triple H won the other. This was the stupid year that John Cena cashed in his Royal Rumble win on this show, which was fucking dumb. Edge was the world champion, and he beat Ray. That was that double.
People wonder why we all hated John Cena so much back then. Like, what an idiot.
I know. Why would you do that?
You know?
Dope.
I won the Rumble. No, I don't want the payday. I want to wrestle for the title at Elimination Chamber.
I know. No way out.
You chump.
Yeah. You chump. Won. And then the following year, the final No Way Out branded show in February, and the final No Way Out for 3 years, 2009, which took place at the Key Arena in Seattle. Again, two chamber matches. One, both of them were actually for the belts. Triple H won one of them. Oh my God! Listen to who was in this one: Triple H, Edge, The Undertaker. Logan, what are you building a chamber? Who's moving around?
Sorry, I moved around.
What are you building the chamber?
No, y'all took the cut out, so I moved to a different spot.
Triple H defeated Edge, Taker, Show, Hardy, and Vladimir Kozlov in one chamber. And in the other chamber, Edge, who snuck in to replace somebody, defeated Cena, Kofi Kingston.
Right.
Was it Kofi?
Kofi.
Oh, it was Kofi. Yeah, you're right. I'm laughing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wait, oh, it is Kofi. Defeated Cena, Ray, Jericho, Mike Knox, and Kane. And, of course, that led to WrestleMania 25.
Was it the year before that had Big Daddy V in a chamber match? I know he was in one of them.
You know what? It might be the one we're about to talk about. Let us go now. Starting in 2010, we ditch the No Way Out moniker, and we get the official Elimination Chamber. However, in Germany, it was still called No Way Out 2010. Duh. So Brockus got to watch this show as No Way Out 2010.
Brockus.
So in the Hart household. That was the first one. This show was in where the hell was this show? This show was in St. Louis, and the matches were there were two chambers here as well. One for the actually these are both for the belts too. John Cena defeated Sheamus, Triple H, Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase Jr., and Kofi Kingston to win the WWE title. And then, of course, if you remember, Batista came out, thanks to Vince, and took the title from Cena in 32 seconds. Then the main event, Chris Jericho defeated Taker, John Morrison, R-Truth, Punk, and Ray to win the world title. And you remember why or how he won the world title, Mr. Crosland? Do you remember?
Sweet chin music.
Correct. That's when Sean crawled through the canvas because he wanted his rematch with Taker at WrestleMania.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
so he baited. You don't remember that, JD?
I hadn't until you guys mentioned it.
Yeah, that was when, yep. And, of course, that led
I'll never forget that.
That led to the streak versus career match at WrestleMania 26. All right, now we're going to get to a little stretch where I don't remember any of these fucking cards. The other day, in January, I'm kind of doing a thing where I'm watching, like, old pay-per-views from the month that they were in. And I watched the other day the 2011 Royal Rumble, and I went, did I watch this show? I mean, so here's the same one. The 2011 Elimination Chamber, which took place in Oakland. The two chamber matches were, this was the one where Miz fought Jerry Lawler for the world title. For the WWE title, I should say. In one chamber, for the world heavyweight title, Edge held on to the belt, defeated Ray, Kane, Drew McIntyre, The Big Show, and Wade Barrett. And, of course, Edge would end up defeating Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania, and then the next night he had to retire. In the number one contenders match at WrestleMania 27, it was Cena defeated Punk, John Morrison, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and R-Truth. And then, of course, Cena would lose.
R-Truth.
And, of course, Cena would, of course, go on to lose at WrestleMania 27 to The Miz, thanks to The Rock, in one of the most anticlimactic shit endings in the history of WrestleMania. The following year, Elimination Chamber 2012, this took place in Milwaukee. Two chambers again, both of them for the belts. CM Punk retained his WWE title against The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth. The fuck did R-Truth get in these chamber matches? 2 years
like,
in a row?
Were somebody just not paying attention?
And then
if Mike Knox could be in this Elimination Chamber, R-Truth's good with
me. Yeah, that's true. That is true. By the way, this was also the first Elimination Chamber pay-per-view that neither the chamber matches were the main event. The other chamber match for the World Heavyweight title, Daniel Bryan, your boy, JD, retained against, oh my God, listen to this mess, Santino Marella, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, The Big Show, and The Great Khali. What?
I wanted Santino to win that match so bad, dude.
He was the last eliminated.
He was the last guy in there, yeah.
Yeah. And,
like, it was, they for like a whole year, they did such a great job of teasing, like, is Santino going to win a huge match? Remember, like, he almost won the Rumble, too.
Yep.
And almost threw out Del Rio. I think that was the year before, but
yeah,
just they were so good at that, and you know they never did it. But
yep. And
so, and what was the main event then?
The main event, neither chamber match was for the main event. In fact, there were five matches on this show. One chamber opened, and one chamber was third. The main event was John Cena defeated Kane in an ambulance match.
Oh my gosh! What
the boy, JD.
Juan in the ambulance. Juan in the ambulance.
It was Demon Kane. Don't worry, it wasn't Corbin.
Was this was this the Zack Ryder stuff?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes, it was.
Gosh.
All right, the following year, the 2013 Elimination Chamber. In Germany, it was called No Escape. Why in Germany? Oh, I get it. They didn't want to use the word chamber in Germany.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that.
It probably is why. Huh?
I can imagine, because every time I look in Germany, it's named it's a different name of a pay per view.
Oh wow, never knew that.
I don't even remember any either of these chambers. Actually, that year there was only one chamber.
Yeah, it's the one that Jack Swagger won.
Yes, Jack Swagger defeated Randy Orton, mm-hmm. Chris Jericho, Mark Henry, Kane, and Daniel Bryan. And the two belts were actually singles matches. Alberto Del Rio defeated Big Show by submission, and Rock beat Punk for the WWE title.
That was the rematch. Yeah.
Yep, that was a rematch from the Rumble.
Yeah, Jack Swagger was supposed to get a monster push out of that, and he actually got arrested for
A monster bag of weed.
Yeah, it was actually in Mississippi too. He got arrested in Biloxi.
I remember that. Yeah. Yep. and the final year, the following year was the final year. Well, the final year that the Elimination Chamber. Well, I shouldn't say final year. The final year for a couple of years at the Elimination Chamber pay per view was in February 2014. Also called No Escape in Germany. That must be it. They must not want to use the word chamber in Germany. This one was in the Target Center in Minneapolis. Of course, this was the one where JD's boy got fucking shit on. There was only one chamber. It was in the main event, and Randy Orton defeated Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Cesaro, Christian, and Sheamus. Remember Christian was in the match? Everybody thought mm-hmm. he was going to get dumped.
Yep. Was that his last match, or one of his last matches?
Christian's?
Yeah.
I think
so. Oh, yeah, here it is. On Elimination Chamber. Yeah, it says right here. Elimination Chamber would mark the final pay-per-view in-ring competition event for Christian. On the March 24th episode of Raw, Christian won a fatal four-way match, which included Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, and Sheamus to challenge Big E for the WWE Intercontinental title, but never happened due to Christian suffering a mild concussion.
Yeah.
Mild concussion. This led to Christian making part-time non-wrestling appearances for pre-shows and podcasts without any news regarding his career in wrestling. On October 27th, 2015, Christian's profile was removed from the superstar section to the alumni section on WWE.com, noting Christian's retirement from professional wrestling with the company.
Podcast, you say, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Think we know who's here for episode 70 of Main Event.
Woohoo! That's right.
Christian.
Edge and Christian wanted to be on this episode so they can make a bunch of 69 jokes, but anyway. So that was the last one. Now, the following year, of course, 2015... began what would be title. I'm just trying to find the rights. There we go. It would be Fastlane 2015. So they ditched the chamber as a pay-per-view event, sort of, and made it Fastlane. And your main event there was, I don't think there's any memorable match on this card. Roman Reigns defeated Daniel Bryan for a number one contender match at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah. That was a pretty good match.
It was a pretty good match.
I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Cool.
Where was it?
It was in the FedEx Forum.
Oh, yeah, it was in Memphis, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. The Authority defeated Dolph, Eric Rowan, and Ryback. Okay.
Wow.
Goldust defeated Stardust.
Did Orton show up in that match?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I remember.
Goldust.
That was a bad match for what it was worth, but it was, I mean, you know. It was a six-man tag, so.
Goldust defeated Stardust. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro defeated the Usos. And Natalya lost to Kat. Nikki Bella defeated Paige. Bad News Barrett defeated Dean Ambrose. Rusev defeated John Cena. And Roman Reigns defeated Daniel Bryan. I remember that Rusev-Cena match was really good.
Yeah.
I remember that was being a good match. And then, of course, last year's Fastlane, which took place in Cleveland. The main event there was, of course, that triple threat. The winner would face Triple H at WrestleMania. And, of course, it was Roman Reigns defeated Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. Really nothing else memorable on this card. Big Show.
What do you mean? Curtis Axel defeated R-Truth. That's memorable.
Yes, in an epic two minutes and 23 seconds.
Of the rest of the social outcasts.
The social outcasts. Oh, man.
Social outcasts. Very quickly.
They were my four horsemen, Scott.
Oh, jeez. You're an idiot.
Sometimes I wonder why you even have me on show.
Because you sometimes say, I don't know.
You don't even have a reason.
No, I really don't. I was going to say you're more of a risk than Andrew Reich, but Reich is nice and safe. All right. So before we go quick, let's go through quickly the WCW pay-per-views that took place in February, because there were some good ones. Arguably one of the best shows of all time, Super Brawl 2, which took place in Milwaukee. That, of course, the main event. Sting defeated Luger to finally win the world title. That was Rude Steamboat, U.S. title. Arn and Bobby Eaton defeated the Steiners by DQ. Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes defeated Steve Austin and Larry Zbyszko. This is really great. Pillman defeated Jushin Thunder Liger for the light heavyweight belt. Yeah. Have you ever seen this show, Logan?
Yeah, I have.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a tremendous show. Highly recommend it if no one's ever seen it. Super Brawl 2. It's go to the network. It's under the WCW pay-per-views. Super Brawl 3 in 93. That was Vader Sting, White Castle of Fear strap match.
Benoit and Too Cold Scorpio had a really good match in that show, too.
Yes, they did. And Vader and Sting fought in White Castle of Fear strap match. The winner got a suitcase full of chicken rings. At Super Brawl 4, let's see. Flair beat Vader in the Thunder Cage match. In the other Thunder Cage match, Sting, Pillman, and Dustin Rhodes defeated Austin, Rude, and Orndorff with Colonel Rob Parker. Cactus Jack and Max Payne beat the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Of course, they had that. They had that fucking incredible rematch at Spring Stampede.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of then.
Oh, this is the match that. This is the card that Will and I gush over. The awesome Steve Regal. Arn Anderson World TV title match. This match is fucking great. Highly recommend it. Logan, if you've never seen it, I would. Super Brawl 4. Yep. The rest of the card is, but I would definitely watch that one.
Yeah, I watched this pretty recently, I think, actually.
Yeah, Super Brawl 5 in Baltimore in 95. That was Hogan.
Garbage.
That's Hogan and Vader. The rest of his cards.
That's what I was thinking Super Brawl 4 was when we started talking about it.
Yes, that was the Blacktop Bully Dustin Rhodes singles match. Okay, that wasn't Uncensored is the one where they get fired for being behind the for being in the back of the truck.
18-wheeler, yeah.
All right, Super Brawl 6. This is let's see. Flair beat Savage in the cage for the world title. That's the one where Elizabeth turns, right? I think she turns heel there. Hogan, Giant, Steel Cage. This is the only memorable thing about this show is the one. This is right before Pillman leaves when he smacks
Sullivan,
and he goes, "I respect you, Booker Man."
Yeah, that was
that card. The rest of the show is the shits. Sting and Luger fought the Road Warriors to a double countout. Yeah, that's not bad. All right, Super Brawl 7 in 97, the main event was Hogan Piper. That was the highly anticipated Starcade rematch for the title. Luger Giant against the Outsiders, Benoit Taskmaster in a San Francisco death match. That's where the show took place. Rotel and I always laugh because it seemed like every death match that Benoit was in, all they did was add the city before it. I mean, really, a San Francisco death match? I mean, really, how daunting does that sound? I mean, really, that's like saying, you know, I'm going to go wrestle in a Seattle death match. I mean, come on, you know, or an Aberdeen death match. I'm going to have a death match in Daniel Bryan's backyard. We're going to throw granola at each other. I mean, you know, it's like so stupid. Let's see. Eddie defeated Jericho. Oh, that's not a bad one. Eddie fought. Eddie beat Jericho for the in a U.S. title match. Public Enemy beat Harlem Heat in the faces of like that match couldn't have been any
good. Wow.
Ultimo Dragon defeated Patton. Oh wait, that's a dark match. I almost said Hugh Morris defeated Joe Gomez. That was on the pay per view. Good grief. Then Super Brawl 8 in 98. That was Sting Hogan.
I really liked Super Brawl 8 at the time. I loved that show.
Yeah, that's, let's see, quickly. Booker T. Martel. I think that's when Martel blows his knee out.
Yeah, and then he fought Saturn right after that.
Yep. Disco Inferno defeated La Parca. Goldberg beat Brad Armstrong. What?
Yeah.
Well, that was when he was squashed, guys.
Nobody.
Yeah. Jericho defeated Hoovy, title versus Mask.
That was awesome, too.
Bulldog beat Mongo. Oh, God, that match is atrocious.
Okay, maybe not all.
DDP Benoit. DDP beat Benoit for the U.S. belt.
That was Luger, really good, too.
Luger Savage, no DQ. Outsiders defeated Steiners in a tag match. That's when Steiner. That's when Scott Steiner turned heel in the middle of the match. And then Sting beat Hogan in rematch from Starrcade. Super Bowl 9 in 99. Hogan Flair, Goldberg Bigelow. I just watched that match recently. Goldberg Bigelow,
Is that good?
Yeah, it's all right. I watched it. It was on the Goldberg Blu-ray.
Yeah,
it was okay. Scott Hall defeated Piper for the U.S. title.
Scott Hall versus Roddy Piper.
Was that when he was was that when he was coming out with the drinks in his hand? It had to have been. Right? Wasn't that part of the storyline when Scott Hall was coming out with cocktails in his hand? I think so.
Yeah, I remember the story, but I don't remember if that's what it was or not.
Steiner beat DDP for the in the TV title match. Outsiders defeated. So Scott Hall fought twice. God, in 99.
Oh, this is when Ray had to. Ray had to take his mask off. Right?
Yep.
Stupid.
Wyndham and Kurt Hennig beat Benoit Malenko for the vacant tag belts. Yeah, that's bad.
Wyndham winning a pay per view in 1999.
I know. Kidman beat Chavo for the cruiser, but yeah, that match. What the fuck do you like that show for? Good grief.
I said I like Super Brawl 8, man.
Yeah, he was talking about the one before that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, just want to make sure. Super Brawl 2000, also from San Francisco. This was Sid. Was this the
this
one
is
where...
one of those shows that's so bad, I feel like you should watch it.
Yeah.
Anytime you complain about a bad show now, no.
Yeah, here
watch this show.
Yeah, this show is terrible.
The fact that there's a match where there's somebody named The Wall versus The Demon is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, The Demon. That you want to talk about a waste of fucking money, The Demon? That's why they brought Kiss to play on a Nitro. They spent more money on Kiss than I think Vince did for Tyson. I'm probably exaggerating, but it probably wasn't that far off. Here's the Super Brawl 2000 card. We'll see if JD loves it as much as he thinks he does. Artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea defeated Lash LaRue, Derek LaRue's
Six
cousin.
Stars.
Yep, with Sweet Tits in his corner. Brian Knobbs defeated Bam Bam Bigelow. Oh, God.
Seven stars.
Seven stars. A Three Count defeated Norman Smiley in a handicap match.
I did like Three Count, I'm not going to lie.
Three Count defeated Norman Smiley in a handicap match. You gotta be kidding.
This is what Norman Smiley was. I think he was wearing like hockey gear.
Yeah, he was wearing football helmets and shit. Yeah. The Wall defeated Logan Cousins' favorite match of all time. The Wall defeated The Demon. Tank Abbott defeated Big Al.
God.
He fought Justin Sun in a match.
Here's a
Tank
here's
Abbott defeated Big Al in a leather jacket on a pole. Oh, this was the Vince Russo era where everything was on a pole.
Well, and more than that, if you never saw it after the match, Tank Abbott pulls a knife on the guy and threatens to murder him. and the announcers like have to act like they didn't know what it was and they wouldn't acknowledge it. But he pulls a knife on the guy. It was so bizarre and stupid. And Tank Abbott was the worst.
So retarded. Big T defeated Booker T. Oh God,
Big T.
Fucking after he ate Stevie Ray. Billy Kidman defeated Vampiro. The Mama Lukes defeated David Flair and Crowbar in a Sicilian stretcher match. Ric Flair defeated Terry Funk.
Ric
Flair defeated Terry Funk in a Texas death match. Hulk Hogan defeated the Total Package. Oh, God.
The Total Package.
And then Sid Vicious defeated Scott Hall and Jeff Jarrett in a triple threat match.
That's another garbage match.
And then finally, Super Brawl Revenge. This was the match where, of course, no, that was Sin where Sid snapped his leg. This is Shane Helms defeated Shannon Moore, Kaz Hayashi, Yun Yang, Jamie Noble and Evan Courageous in an elimination match. Hugh Morris defeated The Wall. There you go, Logan. Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo defeated Mark Jindrak and Sean Stasiak in a, for the tag titles.
Not as bad as you think.
Yeah, Chavo defeated Ray. They're usually pretty good. Rick Steiner defeated Dustin Rhodes.
Don't remember that.
Oh, God. In a handicap match, here's a Jordan Duncan. This is actually Jordan Duncan and J. Arsenio D'Amato's tag team. Totally buffed! Defeated Brian Adams in a handicap match. Who the fuck booked that?
The singer Brian Adams?
Yes, yes. If you lose this match, you all have to sing Heaven. The Cat defeated Lance Storm. Chris Canyon. Who better than Canyon? Who better than Duncan? Defeated Diamond Dallas Page. Then DDP defeated Jeff Jarrett. Why did DDP have to wrestle twice? And then Scott Steiner defeated Kevin Nash in a retirement match for the world title. So there's your list of WCW pay-per-views.
Maybe Super Brawl's not as good as I remember.
Yeah, maybe it was good in the first two or three, and then they went in the show. They definitely
went in the
show.
I thought 98 was good, and honestly, the last one, it was so sad with WCW in 2001. Is those last three pay-per-views, Sin and Revenge and Greed, are all pretty decent shows. But I mean, by then it was too late. You know, it didn't really matter.
Right? No, it didn't really matter. Sid suffered a leg fracture. Yep. So there you go. So that last one, those last couple were in some the Cow Palates. The last one, actually, Logan was in Nashville at the Municipal Auditorium.
Okay.
Oh, God. I mean, look at
this.
The
Cow Palace in 2000 is probably like 400 people there.
Well, the attendance was 8,569, but this is worse. You know how many people were at Super Brawl Revenge? 4,395.
Which was that, 99?
No, the last one. Oh, one, the last one.
Oh.
99 was... No, 15,000. No, 99. Remember, 99. They were still doing okay. 15,880.
Yeah.
They were still fine. 2000.
Yeah, that's the year they tanked pretty bad.
Yeah, 2000. Yeah. 2000. They were fucking cooked. So anyway, there's your kind of retrospective on February pay per views. Go to the WWE and check all of them out. So it's good. February's always kind of been an underrated month. It's we've had some stinkers, but we've also had some decent matches as well. We won't do this for WrestleMania because we're going to have a big project on PlaceBeNation.com breaking down great WrestleManias, and it's a fun project. I'm not going to reveal too much, but you'll enjoy it. Gentlemen, this has been a pleasure, believe it or not. Logan, you're awesome. Keep up the good work. You'll be back.
Thank you, you too.
You'll be back, and check him out in the Hoops columns throughout the rest of the winter as we head toward the NCAA tournament. JD, you son of a bitch. Pleasure as always, sir. You will be back.
Thank you.
You will be back because we are going to do. I'm looking ahead, everybody. As you know, we this is like our you know the current event WWE podcasts. We rotate with clotheslines and headlines. You know, they do a week and then our week and then their week and our week because we want to spread it out for all of you. We don't want to overload too much, but you will be overloaded at the week of WrestleMania, because that week, the week leading into April 2nd, we will have both clotheslines and headlines and main event that week, because it's WrestleMania, man. We got to load you up. So, guys, you're on the list. The list of Jericho. What about the clipboard now? The list of Logan. I like that. The list of Logan. And write fucking Grayson Allen, because he's a dick.
The Wall and the Demon.
Yeah, the Wall, the Demon, Big Al, and... and Justin's Big Al, the wrestler, and Grayson Allen. But guys, we're going to load up that WrestleMania show, so be ready. For Jordan Duncan and Logan Crosland, I am Scott Criscolo. You are in the main event. Enjoy the Elimination Chamber on Sunday. We will talk to you in 2 weeks. As Logan sounds like he's taking the chamber down.
Yep. Got to dismantle it.
John Cena is actually pretty nice.
Shut up, Jordan.